Okay, so today's daf is Psachim daf Gimel. We're going to start with the last three words on daf Beis Amud Beis. Mosiv Marzutra. Marzutra asked the question. Hamapeles or Lishmonim. And again, this question is still going to go on this debate of whether or is day or night. This is the question on Rav Huna who says or is day. It says the following in the Mishnah. And Dav Zayin Amud Beis, Hamapella increases. Hamapella's or Lishmonim Ve'echad. So let's say there's a woman who has a miscarriage on the day 81 of a prior birth, day 81 after a prior birth. Beishamai Potrin Mikorban, Ubeis Hila Machayvin. Beishamai says that she doesn't have to bring a second Korban. Why? Because she is not fit to bring a korban on the first birth until day 81, because you cannot bring korbanos at night. In other words, the halacha is that a woman who gives birth to a girl brings a korban after on the 81st day after on the 81st day after she gives birth. Additionally, a woman who has a miscarriage also, and Beis Shammai says that, so let's say if she, so she had a baby, she hadn't brought her korban for the first baby, and then she gets pregnant again as a miscarriage, again on the or of the 81st day, she doesn't have to bring the second korban. Beis Hillel says she has to, because Beis Shammai says you don't bring korbanos at night, so even though it's day 81, she still cannot bring the korban until the morning. And Beis Hillel says no, she brings both korbanos for the first and the second, because she finished her days of tahara, of purity, for the first birth. Now, Amar lahem Beis Hillel v'Shammai, Maishna or Shmonim ve'echad, Meyom Shmonim ve'echad. Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, what's the difference of the night of the 81st to the day of the 81st? Im Shiva lo letuma, lo yishva lo lekarbad. If we equate the night to the day regarding tuma, that once it's the nightfall of day 81, then it's not considered the days of tahara. The halacha is when a woman, this is an explicit psukim in Parshas Tezriah, if a woman gives birth to a girl, the first 14 days, if she sees blood, this is the blood of her leida, that's tumas leida. Even if she doesn't see blood, the first 14 days, she has what's called tumas leida. She has tuma of having given birth. And the next 66 days, any blood that comes from her is considered dam tohar, pure blood. Today, the halacha doesn't apply for a variety of reasons because we don't know what blood is what. And anytime a woman sees blood, then she's treated as a nida. But be that as it may, Hillel says to Beis Shammai, if then starting from the night of the 81st, she, when it comes to Tuma, that's not considered her days of Tahara. In other words, that's it. She's done with the 66 days of Tahara, 40 days of Tuma, 66 days of Tahara. So it starts in the night. So she also, regarding the Korban, it should also start at night. Even if technically you can't bring it until the morning, it should start at night. So regarding this debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what's pretty clear? Midikami Beis Hillel Beishai Maishna or Shmonim Ve'echad Miyom Shmonim Ve'echad Shma Mina or Ursahu Shma Mina. So what the fact that Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, what's the difference between the or of 80 of the 81st day and the day of the 81st day? So obviously, what does or mean? The night. Now, as Beis Hillel's argument to Beis Shammai is, what's the difference between the night of the 81st? There's when night hits, and that's when the halachic day begins, versus the day. So this seems to support the position that when the Mishnah says or, it means night. And indeed, it seems that way. Indeed, the Gemara concludes that yes, that is a good proof, that or can mean daytime. And the Gemara is going to ask another question, Rav Huna, from a Braisa. Meisvei, Yachol Yehei Nechal or Lishlishi. So, normally speaking, a korban shlamim can be eaten on the day when it's brought, and the night following, and the next day. You have 2 days and one night to eat the korban shlamim. However, korban tamid is only eaten on the day when you bring it, and the following night. The Braisa says you might think that the yachol yehei nechal or li shlishi. You might think that the meat of the shlamim can be eaten also in the beginning of the third day, Vidinhu, and maybe you can learn it based on a logical principle, because Zvachim Nechalim Liyom Echad, the Zevach, the sacrifice of the Korban Todah is eaten for one day, Ushlavim Nechalim Lishnei Yamim, and the Korban Shlamim is eaten for 2 days, Malahalan Laila Achar Hayom, and just like after the first day, by the Korban Todah, you have the date. Let's say you offer the Korban Todah today. Today is Tuesday. So you offer it Tuesday morning. So you don't only have the day of Tuesday, but you also have the following night. So, Achar Yom. So, Afkan, Laila Achar Yom. So you might think also that when it comes to Korban Shlamim, since you have 2 days, so you should have 2 days followed by two nights. In other words, let's say you brought the Korban Shlamim today. You should be allowed to eat it today, tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night. So Tabalobar, however the Pasuk says, Biyom Zivchachem Yechel Umi Macharas Vanos Adyom Adyom. So it says on the day of your sacrifice to be eaten, and on the next day, and the remnants on the third day is burnt. The fact that the Pasuk says, Umi Macharas Vanos Adyom, you can expound that only L'macharas Biyom HaSheni, only on the second day, Bibod Yomu Nechal, it's not eaten on the or of the shlishi, which means what? Probably the night of the beginning of the third day. You might think that because it's for you can't eat it starting from the night of the third day. In our example, it would be Wednesday night. So so you might think you can burn it beginning Wednesday night. So vidinu, and because you have a kavachome, or not a logical principle, binyana from Korban Pesach. The zvachim nechalim liyom v'layla echad, ushlamim nechalim lishneyim v'layla echad. The sacrifices of the Korban Pesach are eaten on the day and one night, and shlamim is eaten for 2 days and one night. Malahalan techef lachila srefa. So you might think that by Korban Pesach, immediately after the prohibition of eating begins, you are obligated to burn the leftover. In other words, you could eat the Korban Pesach until the morning. And there's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So work with the assumption that you can, like Rabbi Akiva, that you can eat it all the way to the morning. So we're saying that just like immediately at the end of the time of eating, that you have to burn the nosar, the leftover. Afkan, you might think also by Korban Shlamim, immediately techev achila srefa, immediately after the time of eating, you would have to burn the nosar. Tam alomar v'hanosar hazevach bayom hashlishi be'esh yisar, that what's left over from the sacrificial meat on the third day, on the day, it should be burnt in fire. Bayom atasor, if you atasor for balayla, you only burn it during the day, and you don't burn it at night. So we see here that we don't burn kachim, invalid kachim at night. Now, the Gemara wants to conclude, midikamar yehe nechal or lashlishi. In the middle of this brisa, what do we say? You might think the korban shlamim can be eaten on the or of the shlishi, so alba or ursahu. So now we have a proof that or means night, shramina. So now we're bringing precedence. We have, in other words, we don't know in our Mishnah, in the first Mishnah of Pesachim, does or mean day and night? And now we're bringing precedent for both. Tashma, now we're going to bring another proof that or can mean night. Tashma, or shall Yom Kippur mispalo sheva. On the or of Yom Kippur, you daven a prayer of 7 brachos, v'misvada, and then you do vidu, then you do confession, you do the vidu of ashamnu baganu, right? And so that you do after the end of the 7 brachos, 7 blessings. Shachris mispal shav mispal. In the morning you do 7 blessings, then you do vidui. Musa mispal shav misfada. Mincha mispal shav misfada. You do the same for Musa and Mincha. Ba'arvis mispal me'ein shmona asar. So the first opinion actually is that on Marav and Motzei Yom Kippur, you don't have to say all 18 brachos. You say the 3 opening brachos, the 3 closing brachos, and then the middle bracha of Havinenu, which is a subset, which is a summary of all the middle brachos. Mipnei shetzarech lomar havdala v'cholin hadas. And Rav Chanina ben Galil disagrees. He said the name of his fathers. So he says you recite all 18 brachos because you need to say havdala and cholin hadas. You can't do a shortened havinenu, shortened form of by virtue of havinenu, because you need to say atachode that bracha, because you need to say atachod atado in cholin hadas. But for our purposes, Alba or Ursahus. It's very clear that at the beginning of this price that we said on the or of Yom Kippur, you daven seven brachos, and then the shakras, you do seven brachos. So obviously, or here means night. And we have one more proof. Tashma, the Tani Dvei Rishmo, Lele, Arbaasar, Botki, Esachomets, Loraner, says in the price that on the night of the 14th, you search the chomets to the or of the light. So we know that Bedikas chomets is at night, Alma, or Ursahu. So we can prove here that when it says or, so since we have a brisa which says that we search for chametz on the night of the 14th, so therefore in our Mishnah it says that you search for chametz on the or of the 14th, so that must mean what? It means ursa beats night. So Ella, Bein Rav Huda, Bein Rav Yehuda. So the truth is, after summarizing all these different proofs, it seems that we don't have a proof, we don't have any clear indication from the psukim we brought, whether or itself means night or day, but from various Tanaitic sources, either from Mishnah or Brisa, we have some indications that or meant day and or meant night. So he says, Kliyama or Ursahu. So he wants to say, though, that even though there was one proof that it seems to say or means day, but he says, Amod agrees that or means night. Velo pligi, mar ki asre, umar ki asre. So they didn't argue. They didn't argue that you search for chometz on the 14th. Rather, one opinion calls night in the language that in his that's customary in his place, and one called night as the lashon that's accustomed in his place. But Asrei Rav Huda karu nage, uba Asrei Rav Yehuda karu lele. So in the place of Rav Huna, they call night nage, and therefore or is Nake, and the place of Rabbi Yehuda, they called it Lele. So that's really the debate as between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Huda. Neither opinion suggests that the Mishnah is telling us that we search for chametz during the day. So now the Gemara is going to ask a very basic question. Why? We could have saved all this ink and all this debate. Tana Yidem, my time alone, Tani Lila. Why don't you make things clear and just said, instead of saying or Abasar, just say Lele Abasar. Well, responds Lishna Ma'al Yehu, so it's a more refined language than Nakat, that it learned a more refined language. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lolam Yotzi Adam Davar Magudim Yipiv. That this is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position, because he says that you should never bring forth a not appropriate manner, less than refined manner. From your mouth, Sherei Akam Akasiv Shmona Osios Lahotzi Davar Meguna Mipiv. The Torah added eight letters and did not say something and avoided saying something more negative, like the word Tuma. Shenamar Mina Behema Torah Mina Behema Sherei Nena Torah. The pasuk says from the tahor animal when it came to all the animals that came into the tent. I'm sorry, into the teva. Said mina behema hatahora, mina behema sher einen tahora. It could have said from the behema tamea. So, but we want to use a more refined language. Again, it's not clear exactly when the Torah decides to use the more refined, because the Torah obviously does mention the word tuma times. But when you can use a different language that's more refined and not change the meaning, so it's better to do that. So here also, it's better to say the word or, which is a more and lele, darkness, night. It's not as nice. So Rav Papa Amar Tesha, Papa says that the Torah added nine letters so as not to mention the term of tuma. Shenamar, because it says by someone who's a Balkari, someone who's a seminal mission, kiyeh b'cha isha sheh lo yeh tahor mikre laila, and someone who was not tahor, who had was a Balkari in a mission at night, and the fact that it could have said Isha Sher Tame instead of Lo Yiyah Tahor. Ravi Amar Eser. It actually has 10 extra letters because the vav of tahor is counted, is male. So it's tes hei vav resh. Okay, so Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar sheish esrei. He has 16. I found that the Torah writes 16 extra letters to avoid the word tuma. Shenemar tizen Shmuel ki amar mikrehu. Bilti tahor hu kilo tahor. So this has to do when Shaul HaMelech had his feast, and David didn't want to come because he thought that Shaul had it in for him, and he thought that maybe it was a mikra, maybe he is bilti tahor hu kilo tahor. So again, it doesn't say mikra tamehu, it's mikra hu bilti tahor hu kilo tahor. So that's an additional 16 letters. Okay, so then we're going to bring other statements, other sources for this idea that it's good to speak B'Lashon Nekiya. Tanya Devei Rabbi Yishmael, the Brisa of Rabbi Yishmael, the Beis Midrash of Rabbi Yishmael learned, Lo Lam Yisab Adam B'Lashon Nekiya, a person should always speak in a more refined language. Sherei B'Zav Kro Merkav, that by a Zav, so that's someone who has also a seminal emission. That's some kind of sickness. If it happens sort of 3 days in a row, three times, not as a result of having relations, so he becomes a zav. So the pasuk calls to the kli that he rides on a merkav, but by isha kro moshav, it's called a moshav. So even though by the woman it says moshav. And not Merkav. Why? Because when you ride a horse, so that's you split your legs, right? And that's not appropriate for a woman, to go horseback riding when she has her legs being split like that. So therefore, even though it's the same term, but it's called Moshe by a woman. Va'omer by Tivchar Lashon Arumim, that Eliphaz, that the pasuk says that Eliphaz. He said something bad. He said it's a mitzvah on you to choose the Lashon Chachamim. That's a Lashon Nekiya. Okay, so he said you chose a Lashon Arumim. The Omer Vedas Fasai Barur Milelu, and Barur is a refined type of language. So he should. Right, the Lashon of Arumim is a Lashon of Chachma, of like wisdom, not from nakedness, but he's saying that you should choose a Lashon of Chachma, and you should choose a Lashon of being Mivurar, or Barur, of being clear. Clear, refined, pleasant language. So the Gemara now asks, Maiva Omer, why did it add another source? Why isn't Vativkar Lashon Arumim sufficient? So the Gemara says, V'chite, v'haribil b'darais, v'midrabada, lo. Maybe you would say that only the Torah has to use Lashon Nekiya when possible, but not the rabbis in the mission of the Braisa. Tashma ve'omer v'tivchar Lashon Arumim. So we're seeing that even the Arumim, the Chachamim, use this Lashon. And maybe you're going to think that, no, okay, the rabbis have to use that refined language, but just words, regular, everyday words, you don't have to be... particular on using a Lashon Nekiya, a refined language, v'omer v'das v'asai baro milelu, that every speech you have to speak b'Lashon Nekiya, in a refined language. So the Gemara asks, v'isha lo k'siv b'merka, why it doesn't mention merka by woman at all, v'k'siv, v'atakom rivka v'narasev v'atirkav na'al gemalim, so there it says, v'lashon of merkav, so hasa mishim b'yosusa d'gemalim orchahu, says because it's, you're afraid, she's afraid to sit on a camel because it's very high and she might fall down, even though, so then, it's even the way of a woman to ride on a camel to hold on. But regarding other animals, she sits with two legs on one side of the animal. So that's more, I guess, refined, more modest. But when it comes to a camel, it's she's putting her life in her hands and she's afraid she's going to fall off. So there she does split her legs. So the Gemara now asks, "V'yikach Moshe ishto v'esbenav erkivim al chamor." So it says that his wife, that Zipporah, went even on a merkav. So she rode on a donkey. He used the lashon of merkav even by a donkey. So Gemara says, Hashem mishum banav orchahu. So there, because of Moshe's children that accompanied their mother, so then it's not 100% clear what this means. It might mean, according to some of Farshim, that it mentions Vayarkivein, but that may only refer to the sons, but his wife actually did not ride on the horse in that fashion, in the way of Rechiva, of Pisuk Yet Raglaim, was splitting her legs. Or another explanation, that's the commentary that Rosh Yosef says, the Ben Yehoyada explains that because her children were on the donkey and she was afraid that they would fall, so then she did split her legs, and then it was a Lashon Rechiva, even on the donkey, because her children were on the donkey. The Gemara says, "V'haksiv v'hi rocheves ala chamor," that by Avigayel, the wife of Naval, says that she was riding on the donkey, using lashon of rechiva. As a hasa mishum biyasus delayla orchahu. So there, it was at night time, so she was afraid of night that she was going to fall off. So therefore, she split her legs while riding on the donkey. She wasn't afraid of night, but she was afraid of David that he might kill the whole house of Nabal. So she was afraid. So therefore, she rode on the donkey to hold it well. She was full of fear. She wasn't afraid of David, another possibility, but she was afraid of the mountain. And because she was riding on a mountain, so, you know, she was descending on the mountain to meet him. So that's why she rode splitting her legs, one leg on each side of the donkey. Now, the Gemara is going to go back to the position of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who said that the Torah had letters, so they didn't have to write the word Tamea. So the Gemara asks, V'araisa miloksiv Tamea, what are you going to tell me? Nowhere in the Torah does it mention the word Tamea. Like, there's so many times the Torah mentions Tamea. The Gemara says, "Elo kol hecha dechi adani ninu mishtai belashin nekiya kol hecha nefishim mile mishtai belashin kitzara." So rather, whatever the two terms are equal in length, so then the Torah will use the more refined language. Wherever the more refined language is longer, then the Torah will use a shorter language, even when it's not naki, when it's not refined. Kida Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav V'Amri La Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Meir L'Olam Yishne Adam L'Tamido Derech Kitzara. There is an advantage to say things in a shorter fashion. So the Rashi points out that the Torah, there were a couple of instances where the Torah uses longer language not to write the word Tameh. So, because to teach us that a person should try to recite something B'lashon Nekiya in a refined manner when it's not too long. Even though in those instances they lengthen the letters just to teach the words, to teach us in a situation where you don't have to add so many letters, so or words to what you're saying, then you should speak in a more refined manner. But in all other times, we will refer to the shorter language. There's also a value to that. Now, v'chol hecha dikhi hadari ninhu mishtai b'lashim kavod v'harocheves v'yoshev tichei dari ninhu. So why are you saying that when the same language, we're going to write the same number of letters, we're going to say the more refined word? There are times the Pasuk says both Rocheves and Yoshev. The Pasuk writes Rocheves, and the word Rocheves and Yosheves are equal in length. And yet by Abigail it says Rocheves. Why doesn't it say Yosheves? So it says, it's written without a vav. So therefore, it's shorter. The truth is, you could have written Yosheves without a Vav. Nevertheless, you don't write something chaser, you don't write something without a Vav, unless to teach you some kind of drasha. So therefore, we write Rocheves without a Vav to teach you this very halacha, that when you have a when you have a shorter word or a longer word, you should choose the shorter word, even if it's not as refined as the longer word. Okay, the Gemara is now going to bring a story about speaking in a refined language. Hanu trei talmidei dehavu yosei kamei derav. There were two students who were sitting in front of Rav. Chadamar shavi sinan hai shmaita kedavar acher mesankam. One of them said that this teaching makes me like a pig, because I'm so tired from my exhaustion in it. V'chanamar shave sinan ha'ishmarta kigdi misankan. Another one said, it makes me like a tired goat, little kid. V'loishtei rab v'hadei tahayich. And Rab did not speak with the first student who spoke in an unrefined language, because he said the word like a pig. Hadu trei tamidei dahavi yasei kamei dehilo. There were two students who were sitting in front of Hillel. V'chad mi naihu Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. And one of them was Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'amri la, and some say that it was kamei de Rabbi. Some say it was in front of Rabbi, not Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'chad mi naihu Rav Yochanan. And one of them was Rabbi Yochanan. V'chad omar b'nei ma botzrim b'tara v'ein moskim b'tara. So one of the students asked, why do we pick the grapes with kalim tahorim, with pure vessels, but we don't need to pick olives with pure with vessels that are tahor. So that's the question. And v'chadamar b'nei ma botzim b'tara moskim b'tumah. So again, without getting into detail of that question, but we see that one uses in the first student used the term tahara in both instances, and the other one used tahara versus tumah. And Amar muftach ani bazeh she more harab Yisrael v'lo yamim mati machira harab Yisrael. So the listener, whoever the listener was it Hillel, was it Rebbe? One of them said that either Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai in the first case or Rav Yochanan in the second case said that I know this one who used the language of ein moskim betara and didn't say umoskim betuma. I know that he's going to be a great teacher in Yisrael, and indeed he became. The Gemara is going to bring one other story dealing with this particular topic. So the Hadu Tzlasa Kahadi. There were three Kohadim, and they were serving the Beis HaMikdash. Chad Amar Lahu Hagiadi Kipul. You know, I got a portion of the Lechem HaPodim the size of a small lentil. Or the Chad Amar Higiadi Kizayis. And one said, I got the size of an olive. The Chad Amar Higiadi Kiznav Halta. One said, I got the tail, I think, Halta, is that a lizard? I think it's a lizard. Like the tail of a lizard.
Lizard,
okay. So, Batku Achro Batzel Boshevitz Pasol. They found that the guy, the Kohen, who made that comment, you know, that there was something invalid about him. About, you know, because you can only, if to eat a, to eat from the Lechem HaPanim, that's the daily bread, they would switch out the Lechem HaPanim every week and they'd give it to the Kohanim of that shift. And so they found out that you can't be puzzled to eat it. And they found that he was Shemetz puzzle. He had a little bit of a psul. There was a little bit of a psul, so we can explain in a second. The Gemara thinks at this stage that it means that maybe he has a psul of chalolus. What's a chalol? That someone who's born to let's say Kohen marries a divorcee, and they have a child. So, for example, the child there is a chalol. So the assumption here is that according to Rashi at least, that maybe he was puzzled for kahuna because of his lineage. Rabbeinu Chananel explains that maybe he was involved in some sort of avodah zara. So the Gemara says, V'atanan ein bokim yizbech l'mala. But wait a second, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Kiddushin, that if someone marries a woman, you need to check the Yichus. Nevertheless, we don't check for the Mizbeach and upper and higher. What does that mean? That if one of the ancestors was a Kohen who served in the Mikdash and with the Mizbeach, we don't need to check about his generations, that if he was a psul, they wouldn't let him serve in the Mizbeach. So then why do they check? So lo tema shevetz pasul. Now the assumption here is that they checked afterwards, but you're not supposed to do that. So Gemara says lo tema shevetz pasul, ela ema shachatz pasul. Don't say they found a shevetz in the previous generations, that they found there was something invalidating him about being a kohen, but they found that he himself had something invalidating. He had a arrogance. And he was Mevazeh Kodshei Shemayim, and that's why he was puzzled. That a Kohen who basically, according to Rashi, a Kohen who does it, who sort of disparages the Avoda, that we don't allow him to serve in the Mikdash. Maybe, if you want to say that, no, maybe, even though normally we don't check up someone's lineage, but if someone sort of created a Reusa, did something that created perhaps concern that he might come from bad lineage because he spoke negatively. So then they checked his lineage. Normally speaking, you don't check someone's lineage, but if someone acts in a certain way negatively, then you would check his lineage. So Ahu Arama, the Gemara is now going to speak about a situation where people checked about someone from his words. His words caused people to be concerned about him. So who are Rama to have a salik v'achol psachim Yerushalayim? So there's a story of a non-Jew who would go up to Yerushalayim and he'd eat from the Korban Pesach. He lied and he says, "I'm a Jew, I'm a Yisrael," and he would eat Korban Pesach food, and he was pretty excited about that. He says, "Amar ksiv kol ben necha lo yuchabo kol ora lo yuchabo v'ana kol achila mishufrei shufrei." The Torah says that a non-Jew is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. An uncircumcised person is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. And look at me, I'm a non-Jew, and I'm eating from the best of the best. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira asked him, "Mi kasafu lach me'alya? Did you eat from the tail of the Korban Pesach?" So the tail is right. So he says, did you eat from the tail of the Korban Pesach? Because that's the best. Amalei, no, they didn't give you the tail. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira said to him, "Ki is salkat lahasam eim lahu suffer lemealya." He says, next time you go to Yerushalayim and the next Pesach, tell them that you want the tail of the sheep. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira wants to trick him. Because the alya is brought on the Mizbeach, and you're not allowed to eat it. So he thought that when he would ask for the tail, they would catch him in his lie. When he gets to Yerushalayim, he says to them, "Give me from the tail." And Amar Lei, "Alya l'gavok solka." So he said, "No, the tail goes to the does not go to you. Everyone knows that it goes to Shemayim. In other words, it's burnt on the Mizbeach." Amar Lei, "Man Amar Lachachi? Who told you to ask for the tail?" Amar Lehu, Rehudim Maser told me to ask. Amru, my high Bikama, who is this person who's in front of us? They found out that he was really a non-Jew and they killed him. So by the way, according to the Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach, based on the Kesef Mishnah, that this is not simply a prohibition on the non-Jew to eat to not eat Korban Pesach, but it's a responsibility on Klal Yisrael to make sure they don't feed him. So therefore, it's their responsibility, not just his responsibility. And the Torah says that Shochulei, you want to continue, Shochulei the Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira, Shalom lach Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira, da'at benitzivin umetzodasach pusub Yerushalayim. He said, "Peace to you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira, because you are living in the city of Nitzivim, but your trap is spread all the way to Yerushalayim, and we got him. Good job." Rav Kahada. So now the Gemara is going to bring a story on how it's appropriate to be so careful with how we speak. Rav Kahana Chalash. Rav Kahana was not feeling well. Shadru, Rabbanu, Rabbi Yishuv Brei, Rav Idi. The Rabbanu had sent to Rabbi Yishuv Brei, the son of Rav Idi, that he should visit Rav Kahana. Amru Leili said to him, Zil Badok by Dine, go and see what's his, what, how's he doing? He came. Ashkei Dedach Davshe. He found that Rav Kahana had passed away. Kare Lil Bushe Vadre La Kare Lachor Ubachi Vasu. So Rabbi Shua Brainav Edi ripped his garment and he turned the rip over inside out to cover it, because he didn't want that the Chavi would see the rip and understand that he died. Because maybe they would be so, you know, it might be dangerous for them because they'd be so shaken. And he was crying and he was going. Amrulay, the Chavi asked him, Nach Nafshe, did he die? Amar Lahu, he said to them, Ana lo kamida, I didn't say this. Umotzi diba huksil. And why did I not say this explicitly? Because the pasuk says that if someone says bad things, he's a fool. So a person should try to avoid bad tidings from his mouth. Okay, let's stop here, because the next piece has another story, which really continues. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Let's go to one more story. My apologies. Let's finish the dot. Yochanan Chakoka Nafak Lekiryasa. So Yochanan Chakoka, that was his nickname, according to Rashi. So he went to the villages to see how the grain is. Kiyasa, when he returned to the city, Amule, Chiti Nasu Yafos, did the wheat, make the year good? Or the wheat of the year, was it nice? Amar Lahan, Saor Nasu Yafos. He's saying that the barley was nice. The barley of the year was good. So that obviously indicates the wheat was not good. He didn't want to say it explicitly. Amulei tseu baser lasusim lachamorim. And he said to him, go and tell this to the horses and the donkeys, since the wheat when the wheat is common, we feed the barley to the animals, not the people. The barley and the straw goes to the horses and to the donkeys. So they're saying, like, okay, tell it to the horses, because they're not going to get the barley now. So the Gemara finishes. Gemara says, "My habilimir, what should he have said?" Right? A person shouldn't say bad tidings. Now they were upset at him, what he said. So ishtakad nasu chitid yafos. Now what you should have said is, don't say the barley was good. Say that last year the wheat was good. Inami adashim nasi yafos. Or you can mention other foods that are food fit for humans consumption, like beans. So they came out good. So don't say that barley came out good, because that's animal feed. So don't mention animal feed. You should say last year the wheat came out good, or say that the beans came out good. Okay. We will continue, God willing, and daf.